So the loss of muscle status and the changes where body fat distribution goes up, muscle mass goes down, can create different problems with that mobility, strength, and endurance. So when we look at women, we have to look at it as we also need to preserve that muscle mass so we get less joint pain.
Ladies, are you ready to take control of your menopause journey? Introducing Mastering the Pause, the ultimate ebook that empowers you with the knowledge and tools to navigate this transformative phase with confidence and grace. Packed with expert guidance on hormone replacement, essential lab tests, personalized diet and lifestyle strategies, this book is your secret weapon to combat menopause-related challenges. Discover how to maintain a healthy metabolism, ward off belly fat, and embrace this new chapter of your life. Download your copy now at guide.hormoneshelp.com. That's guide.hormoneshelp.com. And let's make this a smooth and informed menopause transition today.
Could your painful elbow, sore thumb, sore knees, and/or hips be a sign of menopause? So today on Menopause Mastery, I'm going to dig into the little talked about but well known in the literature relationship between joint pain and menopause. So join me today as we get into it. So like I said, a lot of people don't really realize that joint pain is another really common symptom of the transition in menopause. And so I'm going to dig in today, and I really want us to really understand that this is an overlooked problem. It's something that starts in perimenopausal season in her 40s and then continues through menopause. And a lot of times it gets downplayed, or as women, we often get told, oh, it's because you play tennis, or it's pickleball, or because you were an athlete when you were younger, or it's all these other things that we get told, but we don't realize that our hormones are actually playing a significant role, and we get stuck with pains in our neck and our shoulders and our elbows and our knees, or in my case, my thumb. And so I want you to understand what's really at play here and why that may be one of your major symptoms of menopause. So I want to tell you about Cheryl. So Cheryl came to me. She started having pain in her thumbs, and she thought that it was rheumatoid. And so she really had already sought out a rheumatologist and was told that was not it. Her primary care doctor just said, oh, it's osteoarthritis. You just expect it as you're getting older, because of course you're getting older. And Cheryl really felt that was not a great answer. And she just felt like, you know, my mom didn't seem to have this problem. Why do I have it? And so when she came in, you know, we looked at her hands. She didn't have any noticeable changes to the joint themselves, like disfiguring activities or red thumbs. But she said, you know, it started hurting. And she thought, even maybe could it be ergonomics, right? Is it her desk? She said, you know, I changed my desk at work and how I sat and, you know, whether my elbow was supported so my wrist wasn't, you know, in a weird position to use the mouse. And she said, I went through all this stuff, but basically my thumb would ache every single day. And then it started bothering her. On the other hand, she thought, well, it's because I'm golfing on the weekends. And so maybe it's because I'm, you know, using that hand more. And then she started having knee pain, right? And that's where it really started getting her. She was like, it seems to be progressive and it seems to be something that is kind of ongoing. Now, the interesting thing is Cheryl wasn't quite in menopause, which we all know is that, well, maybe you don't know, but it is officially 1 year since the last time you had a period, which is sort of the demarcation of you are no longer fertile, you are no longer menstruating. However, menopause starts much earlier than that because it's a slow rolling process. And then once you're there, you're always there. Right? You're in menopause or you're postmenopausal because you are done. There are no more hormones. And so she was still having a cycle. So she thought, God, this can't be. So let's talk into it. Let's delve into the cause. So any woman that has felt this experience, they're wondering, like, what's really going on? Well, number one, the hormones, both progesterone and estrogen, have anti-inflammatory activities. So essentially, when they are balanced with each other, our two primary hormones, we get less inflammation. And that obviously means that we get less inflammatory activity in different parts of the body. Now, if you have genetics that leave you at a greater risk for osteoarthritis or other joint conditions or tendon issues, which I'm going to go into, then maybe you also have a little bit extra risk for joint pain. But
alone, our sex hormones actually play a significant role in modulating in the inflammation in the body. And so joint pain obviously is part of this thing, and it's not just, you know, your joints hurting. So again, estrogen in particular has anti-inflammatory activities, and its reduction during menopause leads to this inflammatory response, which obviously leads to this subsequent joint pain. A lot of that inflammation is being driven by several different pathways of cytokines. So I really love the fact that, you know, the pandemic actually opened up this word to the population across the world. Most everybody prior to that did not know what the meaning of cytokines is. But a cytokine is basically a chemical messenger made by a cell that then tells the other cells to be inflamed. And we have a bunch of inflammatory pathways that all can lead to pain. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you know, you've probably heard several of them. There are things like the Cox pathway, the LOX pathway. A matter of fact, one of the drugs that we used for pain medications that was actually withdrawn from the market, Vioxx, worked on the Cox pathway, but it was less than favorable because it kind of shut down that pathway and it was found to cause fatalities. So it was pulled from the market. So we have a lot of pain medications that go in and sort of stop those inflammatory pathways. But the problem with stopping something is it's kind of like damming a stream way upstream. When you do that, you're going to have downstream effects. So in a lot of cases, what we want is for those streams to be modulated. We want to make sure that they do the right thing, but they're not overly expressing themselves. So the Cox, the LOX, there's a prostaglandin pathway. There's a bunch of different inflammatory pathways. And they end up going in and causing inflammation in the joints in which you experience it. And so when that happens, we could have inflammation in the joints. We could have calcifications that are happening because the joints are inflamed. So the body goes in and says, hey, I need to build more bone and sort of protect myself. And so we get calcifications, which is part of the osteoarthritis presentation, right? And so it's the immune system driving inflammation. And then we've got, you know, calcium deposits and inflammatory response happening there that brings the pain. All of that can be modulated by estrogen and a little bit with progesterone. So again, estrogen influences this musculoskeletal area in several ways. First, it's anti-inflammatory, like I said, and it also affects bone remodeling. We know that the biggest risk for osteoporosis and osteopenia, the loss of bone mineral density, is being a female and going through menopause, right? Everybody is going to see some bone loss, especially if they are not proactively working towards to preserve bone. But the reality is when we lose estrogen, the remodeling process of bones really preferentially shifts towards bone reabsorption rather than bone building. And so we've got sort of this multifaceted approach. Estrogen is declined, so we've got inflammation, and then the bone remodeling is not happening at the level, so our bones become more brittle. They become less strong and less dense, right? And there's been a lot of studies that really looked at this sort of bone reabsorption, joint degeneration, and how estrogen plays a role. So, and I'm going to go into a few of those, but let's talk about the other major causes of joint pain, right? So physical activity level. So often as we get older, and I don't know about you, but you know, once you start working all the time and then taking care of, you know, children, I don't have any children, but, you know, most of my peers do, possibly caring for a elderly parent and other things. Often exercise becomes something that gets backburnered, or we preferentially do exercise that may not be the best for our joints. So if we are sedentary, that is going to cause more likelihood for joint pain. Joint pain, even when somebody has things like osteoarthritis, moving actually makes it feel better. Being more sedentary makes it worse. And it's, you know, probably because we've got movement of the lymphatic, we've got blood supply, we've got circulation, and then you've got just the movement of the joint itself and lubrication that happens from that. But on the other side of that, excessive physical activity can cause joint pain also. So especially things like endurance exercise, even weight training. I can tell you, like right now, I had a shoulder injury and years ago, overuse injury from weight training and other things, some professional things that I did earlier in my adulthood. And I had rotator cuff surgery on my right side back in like 98. And then it started to change to sort of muscle and ligament problems. And what's happening now is I'm actually getting a lot of tendonitis in my right elbow
and then down into my right wrist. And so even like gripping a bar so I can squat it on that right side, it hurts to grip and I don't have any strength to actually lift it over my head and put my shoulders on it or put it on my shoulders. And so we can have physical activity that can lead to additional damage. And, you know, I was young and, you know, probably overdid some stuff back in the day, and I'm paying a little bit of the price today. Now, especially physical activity that is excessive, like endurance work, right? I don't know very many people who are runners that don't have some sort of hip or knee or ankle problem. Every once in a while, I run into somebody that's pretty, you know, that just happened to skirt through that issue, but the constant pounding and endurance work often can cause more damage to those joints. So joint pain comes from either too little and or too much physical exercise as part of it. It's not necessarily all the time, but that can be a contributor. Body weight, right? So if I'm heavier, you know, just by like, let's say 10 pounds, that's an extra 500 pounds of pressure, if I remember my stats correctly. If I'm wrong, somebody please let me know. But just putting on 10 pounds puts an extra 500 pounds of pressure on your knees. So being overweight actually causes a lot of joint pain and joint degeneration, right? We can see lower lumbar degeneration and other places when we've got excess body weight. So that can put a lot of damage to particularly the knees and hips, which is obviously going to increase pain. And then as we get older, you know, just age-related degeneration of the joints, everything from the facets between the lumbar and thoracic and cervical part of the spine. So that's the entire length of the spine. And think of it as we have like little Legos that clink together, and that's our spine. And we have little buffers between each one. So we have like little discs between each one. So when the Legos get together with the discs in between them, they have some cushion and they have some bounce. But those cushions start to get dry. They start to get weathered and they get crushed. And we lose some of that bounce between. So our little shock absorbers between our Legos don't work very well. And then we see degeneration and then you see pain. Well, that same thing happens. We have sort of, you know, cartilage buffers and then collagen buffers around our joints and they start to break down. And then we start to have more pain as well. One of the other things that gets overlooked is tendinitis or inflammation of the tendons that is also co-occurring with menopause, right? So the hormonal changes during menopause affects the tendon's elasticity and strength, which leads to increased risk of inflammation and injury. And actually, a study done by Cirillo back in 2012 suggested that hormone fluctuations during menopause could influence the development of tendinopathies because of changes in collagen metabolism, which really affects that structural integrity. Right. So we have tendons and we have ligaments that connect bone to bone and tendons that connect muscle. And so we're at more risk for injury. And then if you add joints to that, then we've got all of that because our muscles attach and insert at the joints. And that's what allows us to move. Part of the reason why those tendons become damaged is when we lose estrogen, the mucus producing and the fluid producing parts of the body, right? So everything dries up. So every woman will tell you my skin gets dry, my, you know, vaginal tissues and my pelvic floor tissues, all of those get dry. My eyes get dry. My hair gets dry. Well, so do your tendons, right? Because they need joint fluid, right? Think of that as brake fluid that's going around them that keeps them nice and moist so they can flex and bend. Well, they lose that too. And so we're much more likely to have pain from that, and we can have more injuries like tears, right? So a lot of my wrist and elbow pain is not really the joint itself, it's the tendons. And so, you know, we have to look at that. And so sometimes it's just estrogen, sometimes it's overuse injuries and other things. So basically the drying up of the tendons and the loss of the lubrication also increases that risk. Some of the other research that has consistently linked menopausal status with prevalence of joint pain was done. It was a cross-sectional study done by Dr. Sowers and her colleagues, and they examined the relationship between musculoskeletal pain and menopause and found a significant association with advancing menopausal status and the presence of joint pain. So they found that women in perimenopause and postmenopausal stages reported higher instances of joint pain and stiffness compared to women who were still cycling. And so there's definite correlations with hormone changes. And so we need to fully understand that because maybe you're struggling every day with joint pain and you can take
you know, whether it's natural things like curcumin, which I love, you know, high dose curcumin, citrus bioflavonoids, those are also very helpful. Omega-3s, your pro-resolving mediators also help. All of those things can help reduce the inflammatory activity, but we have aging process of menopause that is driving inflammation along with it. And so we have to also look at that, and so that we can understand the relationships between them. I want to summarize some of the research just so you can see it. So I talked a little bit about Cirillo's work, obviously, with the tendon injuries. And what they found is the hormone fluctuations, particularly during menopause and perimenopause, especially as it's fluctuating. And then when we're post, obviously post, we get drier activity and we get tendon degradation. But especially when those hormones are fluctuating, we're also at greater risk for possible tears and injuries. Sowers and team back in 2003 looked at the association between menopause and body composition with women in midlife. And they saw that menopause changes in body composition affect the body in multiple ways. And it looked at physical functioning across these dimensions. So mobility, right? Because part of why we're worried about the joint pain and the tendon issues is not only do we not want to have pain, but we want mobility, right? Flexibility and strength and endurance. And so when we lose that because we are either in pain or we have a loss of collagen or we have bone breaking down or we have tendons that are drying up, we lose that mobility. And, you know, if we look at some of the studies, even looking at grip strength is a proxy for longevity, right? Especially bilateral. So both hands, right? If both hands have strong grip strength, that means we're overall stronger, and that is truly a marker of potential longevity. So when we look at the changes during midlife, we not only see a loss of muscle mass, we see a loss of bone mass, right? Those two things correlate. The more you do to put on a muscle, the more bone you put on, right? They've done studies looking at women with osteoporosis and showing that if they just weight trained, right, in women who were significantly postmenopausal, that you could see increased bone mineral density and muscle mass at the same time. So the loss of muscle status and the changes where body fat distribution goes up, muscle mass goes down, can create different problems with that mobility, strength, and endurance. So when we look at women, we have to look at it as we also need to preserve that muscle mass so we get less joint pain. Because all of those things make a difference. Because the reality is, maybe you want to be able to do really cool things at the gym. Most of the women I talk to are like, no, I want to be able to pick up my grandbaby from any different angle and not injure myself. I want to be able to reach down and pick something up off the floor without having to do like, you know, grab a chair and use four different items to get back to standing. I want to be able to stumble and catch myself before I fall. And I want to have endurance to do things like, I don't know, hike. Those things are quality of life measures, and they're also measures of health span. So as women, we have to also look at that body fat distribution in our muscle mass and really keep that. And if we've lost some of that, we can gain it back. Now, Tanko and Pardies, back in 2008, Tanko and their colleagues looked at the pathogenesis of osteoarthritis. Right? Osteoarthritis is, you know, kind of everybody gets lumped into that category for joint pain. But we have to look at what biological mechanisms underlie osteoarthritis. And again, it's a degradation or breakdown of joint cartilage and collagen. And it's also all of that is occurring because the inflammatory cytokine messengers that drive that breakdown. And so when we look at the gender differences, we see that it's invaluable to understand that as women, we have significant risk for osteoarthritis because of our change in hormones and because they drive more cytokine activity when we lose them. And so it's all of that goes together. So if you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I kept thinking that I had joint pain and it was because, I don't know, played softball as a teen or I was a college athlete or I overdid it or I was a runner or I've been sedentary and sitting on the couch and I'm not doing as much physical activity, so therefore, this is what's going on. The other part of it is it's also because you're female and you don't have your hormones anymore. And if you're not replacing those hormones, and I'll be the first to say, I believe hormone replacement is absolutely underutilized. 100% of women go through menopause.
85% have significant symptoms that are notable, and 10% get offered any kind of treatment, right? I just literally read an email about the statistics for erectile dysfunction, and last year it was 6-1. 6-1, we spent 6 times the amount of investment dollars for erectile dysfunction, startups, and other treatments compared to things like endometriosis, right? And the statistics are more women suffer from endometriosis than men do of erectile dysfunction, but the focus is still on men's health. So we still don't know what we don't know. And if you haven't listened to some of my other podcasts, like The Doctor Won't See You Now, the truth is there's lack of evidence in women's health because we just haven't done the studies. So I want to give you a path out. So if you're sitting here and you're going, man, right, my joints hurt, I have tendonitis, you know, I have, you know, trigger thumb, it hurts to text, whatever that might be, maybe my knees hurt so bad, I feel like I can't do anything. I want you to think about the things that I've said, and we're going to walk through your path outward, right? So the first thing is I think it's important to understand, is it osteoarthritis? Is it potentially something more like an autoimmune condition, which is epidemic, right? If you get red, swollen joints and they're inflamed, and particularly most of the time bilateral, right? Meaning both sides hurt at the same time, it flares up and goes down. There's a good possibility that it could be something more than osteoarthritis or just the breakdown of the collagen and, you know, laying down of calcification and damage to the joint, both of which have immune dysregulation. Just RA has its own sort of family of things happening, not part of this conversation today, but we want to check it out. So I think it's important to know, is that stuff going on? And you can get lab work if you think it's something like RA. There are labs that can be done, like rheumatoid factor, IgM, and then you've got citrullinated protein, or otherwise known as CCP, and your antibodies like IgA. You can look at those markers and see, is there autoimmune stuff brewing, which has a whole nother, you know, avenue of treatment. Now, if it is something like arthritis, are you in that perimenopause or menopause transition? Is it possibly that loss of estrogen and loss of progesterone that may be allowing that inflammatory cytokine activity to be active? And if that's the case, I would argue the case that this might be the time to look at hormone replacement and see if you're a candidate and get some help, because it may have more far-reaching effects than just your joint pain. Right? Obviously, if it's causing inflammation in your joint, guess what? It's causing it elsewhere. So hormone replacement, and I would argue hormone replacement for all the hormones. There's not just one hormone that is important, right? A lot of the studies were done on estrogen and estrogen replacement, but testosterone has its own impact on sexual interest, dopamine pathways, muscle building, motivation, a host of other conditions. So testosterone is also very important. Progesterone is very important. Not only does it protect the uterine lining, but it also helps with relaxation, anxiety. It holds the receptors open for GABA, and it has its own activity. So I think looking at hormone replacement and getting somebody that actually understands hormone management and actually understands menopause, which again, isn't even taught in medical school. Most gynecologists, if they get an hour, they're like rocking the house, right? They're not menopause specialists because they haven't been trained. That's just not what medical school teaches. So consider hormones, right? Consider hormones, because losing those hormones not only can lead to that joint pain, but again, we see osteoporosis and osteopenia as a significant risk. And especially if you're petite, right? If you're small build, you know, under 5'4 and very petite, your risk is greater because you probably, unless you were like a gymnast or a serious like weight athlete, you didn't have a lot of bone mineral density, because the heavier we are, the more dense our bones get to at around 30, which is our max bone density. And then we start to lose it after that. Now, exercise, right? So I talked about exercise. So I may need to alter how I exercise and what I do. Now, I'm not an exercise physiologist. I work with some and I refer to them, but you want to look at it and say, you know, if I've got joint pain in every single knee and every hip and I'm a long distance runner, this is where I want to do some muscle building. What I can tell you is if you build the muscles around the joints that hurt. So for instance, if you've got knee pain, and you work on building the quadricep muscles, the hamstrings, your calf muscles, the things that support that knee joint, you will see improvement in pain. There's lots of studies out there looking at that.
And so you want to work with a really highly qualified trainer that can help you understand the body mechanics of doing those things correctly so you don't cause more pain. But basically, the stronger your muscles are around the joints that hurt, the better it is in most cases, particularly the knees and hips. So we want to create strong muscles. We also want to limit activities that may cause additional muscle damage and inflammation, right? So maybe I'm really beat up. I've got a lot of pain. So maybe I might do swimming and cycling. Like I can tell you, I'm not going to go out and run. I was never a good runner. My knees don't really enjoy it, but I'm a good cyclist, right? So I can get the heart rate up and other things with cycling without causing damage to the joints. I still lift weights. I still do other things, yoga and other activities, but I don't run. Even though running is super simple and easy because you can just throw on shoes and leave the house, it may not be the right thing for you to do anymore. And the other thing is making sure that you give time for recovery, right? Recovery is important. That's where you build muscle and bone and connective tissue. So you don't want to overtrain either. So there is a happy medium there where you get enough time to recover and rebuild. And that is really important as well. So think about what you're doing and how these things may contribute. And then your diet, right? Obviously, as a nutrition professional, I'm always concerned about the diet, but I want to make sure that I'm getting adequate protein to build muscle. And protein's also in the bone matrix that helps you build bone. It's not just about calcium, magnesium, and collagen, right? And vitamin D and vitamin K. You need adequate protein intake. You need the stimulus to the bones to do it. And you need the right nutrients to help your body build bone and collagen and connective tissue. You know, taking additional collagen into the body can also help. There's collagens. I love whole body collagen because it's got Fortabone, Verisol, and Fortagel, which have all been collagens that have been studied for osteoarthritis and actually showing improvement. I'm sorry, osteoporosis and showing improvement in bone. So getting a good collagen supplement and eating it every day as part of your total protein, but it doesn't make up for your proteins, can also help. Now, what do you do when you're like, okay, I'm doing all the right exercise stuff. I'm making sure I'm getting protein and I'm, you know, well hydrated. I've got my collagen. I'm making sure that I get adequate nutrients. What's my next step? So if you're thinking about hormone replacement, this is the time to really start looking at, we're not just managing symptoms, right? The conventional medicine says hormone replacement is to manage symptoms. My stance as a scientist and a researcher is that yes, symptoms are a sign there's a problem, right? The lack of symptoms doesn't mean that there's not a problem. And that the simple fact is when we lose our hormones, we go through a significant period of change. Our brain changes, our bones change, our muscle changes, every part of our body changes because every single cell, except for red blood cell and a cell in the brain, have receptors for hormones, particularly estrogen. And our risk for all the big three go up when we lose those hormones. And I'm going to argue today that it also increases the risk of joint and tendon pain. And so if you're in that position and you really are like, oh my gosh, I really think I need, you know, to find the right help. First off, definitely listen to my podcast, shameless plug, because I'm going to give you the science, right? I'm going to give you the science in a way that you can understand. Number two, this is the time to look for your healthcare provider and just have a conversation. Again, I think the choice for hormone replacement is bio-individual. I think the management of it is also bio-individual, you know, and you deserve to have that. So it may be time for you to consider that. And so that's the next thing. And you can always reach out to me on BettyMurray.com and we can help you find that, right? So to round up and get all this back in here, I want to empower you to recognize that if you are struggling with joint pain and tendon pain and other stuff, take this as a checklist and figure out, is this me, right? Is this me? Is this what's happening? I think it is, right? Because if it is, reach out to us. You can go to my contact me page on BettyMurray.com. We can help you out, right? So I hope you found this to be an awesome episode of Menopause Mastery. I appreciate every single listen, subscribe, and share. I do this. I love sharing information. I love my tribe. So I hope you have an awesome week, and I will be back next week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Menopause Mastery Podcast. You are why I'm here, and I am so very grateful. Hit subscribe so you don't miss any wisdom on creating the most exceptional life on our terms. If this episode has helped you in any way, please share it with a friend to spread the love, and together we rise. You can follow me on social media at Betty Murray, PhD, and you can reach me online at BettyMurray.com.